Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. We're going to take a one-week break. Hopefully, we'll get back to our normal schedule with all of our lessons starting next week. And I was in yes, you can stand. Thank you for that. I was in preparation for the lessons for today in the message this morning in our normal study of Ecclesiastes and the book of John for Sunday morning and then Acts for Sunday night, and the Lord just kept directing my attention back to this passage. And let me say that about 10 years ago, maybe a little more than 10 years ago, there in Nebraska, we had a sort of renewal of the church. The church had been established for more than 100 years by that point, but it had, in all rights, it had almost just completely died. There were just a few people at the church when I came, when we came, and God sent us, and God was going to do the work, but He was going to use us in that process. So after the first 9 months, we knew we were going to need to have a revival, just a renewal of the church. So we set the day. It would have been, I think, sometime in October. We were going to call it, what were we going to call that? It was, Open Door Sunday, I think. And just made a big deal about just a renewal, revival of the church for that particular day. And that day marked the first day that I started to preach through the book of Matthew. And so on that day, we started Matthew 1:1 and preached through the whole book of Matthew. And it took a few years to do that, as you can tell how long it takes me to get through one book of the Bible sometimes. We wonder if we're ever going to get out of Ecclesiastes before Jesus comes back. But made it through the book of Matthew. And so I've done this series before, and I've not opened any of those messages since those 10 years ago. And God just kept bringing my heart back to this week. You know, I wonder if it might be this morning, because the devil is at work fighting to distract through temptation in some of our lives. And so God wants to equip us this morning with what we need from His Word, because you won't find the strength from within to stand against temptation. We're going to be equipped by God and from His Word, or we won't be equipped. And so that'll be our study for this morning, Sunday morning, tonight, and then Wednesday night. It's a four-part series on understanding the temptation of Satan, and with that, being equipped to stand strong against those temptations. So with that in mind, let's begin reading in verse 1, and we'll read all the way to verse 11 of Matthew chapter 4. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit. You know, really, we could just stop right there, can't we, and say, you want to have strength against temptation? I think right there is a good way to start. Let yourself be led by the Spirit. Amen to that. So he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give His angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up to an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And really, that is the purpose of it all, isn't it? What Satan is seeking is that Jesus would fall down and worship him. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him. Within, the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Father, we pray your blessings. We need you. Without you, we can do nothing. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. I think of temptation sometimes this way. It's sort of like the chocolate fountain when you go to that restaurant that has the chocolate fountain. You know what I mean? And maybe there are certain things at restaurants like that you should avoid. But honestly, if you tend to overeat, then you should avoid buffets at all, you know? And, you know, because you're just going to find temptation there and you're going to have a hard time. So sometimes when I think of temptation, I think of it that way. Nobody could have known what Jesus was going to go through here, except that Jesus decided to make it known unto us. There was no disciples there. There wasn't anyone that could have reported this. So the reason why we have this account is because Jesus decided to fill us in on what happened in this instance when he was tempted by the devil. And let me say that we need to know this morning. We need to be equipped with what Jesus both dealt with and how he dealt with it. Why is that true? Because we deal with temptation. In fact, our biggest problem is temptation. And what we need, we'll find in this passage, and that is a path to victory. Now, if you struggle with temptation, and that's all of us, and you feel that at times there is no path of victory, then you can rest assured that God is equipping us in this passage, and really through the scriptures, with everything we need to overcome the temptations that we feel on a daily basis. Satan is determined and he has a strategy. He doesn't come at this to tempt us without a plan in place. And so the message today and the next three messages after this will this one in particular will set the table for the next three. And this one, if we could give a title to it, other than understanding the temptations of Satan, is we'll call this the preparation for the temptations. The preparation. We need to be prepared. And so Jesus is an example. And that is, he prepared himself for the temptation of the devil that will come. Now, let's lay some more groundwork. Who is the devil? The devil's called the prince of this world. He's called the prince of the power of the air, the god of this age, the prince of demons. He's called Lucifer. I'm talking about what the scripture refers to Satan as. He's called Satan, the serpent, the great dragon, one, the evil one, the destroyer, the tempter, the deceiver. It says this, the spirit that worketh in the sons of disobedience. He's called the slanderer, which is what the word devil means. He was Lucifer, the angel created by God, and then lifted himself up in pride, as the scripture says in Isaiah 14. Listen to what it says. You don't need to turn there. I'm going to reference a lot of scriptures as we go through some of these groundwork questions we're going to answer. But it says in Isaiah 14, 12, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. You hear how much Satan says, I will, in his pride, lifting himself up. I will be like the Most High, he says. Yet God declares, thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. So Satan would have been cast out of heaven. Full of envy, full of fury, his hatred is directed against God. And when Satan attacks us, really he's attacking Christ, isn't he? Paul was persecuting Christians, and then Jesus said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Paul spoke of the persecution he it later would experience and said this, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. And so Satan hates God, therefore Satan hates you and me who are made in the image of God, in the likeness of God. We have another question. What about hell and the lake of fire? Is that real? Matthew, we could talk a long time about that, couldn't we? Matthew 25:41 says, then shall he say unto them, on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. So hell and the lake of fire was created. It's a real place created for the devil and for the demons. And note that there's a coming judgment day where people who do not know God in salvation will be cast into the lake of fire. In other words, if you're lost, you're condemned already. I'm going to say that again. If you're lost, you're condemned already. John chapter 3, verse 18 speaks of that. And so there's a coming day. Hell and the lake of fire are real places. And there's a coming day when people who are not saved will be cast into the lake of fire. And Jesus preaches, and as the Bible says in Luke chapter 19, I believe it's chapter 19, verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And so the message of the gospel is designed to strike to the heart of the lost. For those of you who don't know God in salvation, to understand the reality of separation from God, that hell and the lake of fire are real places, and you will be cast into the lake of fire for all of eternity. That's the nature, that's the heart of the gospel and the purpose for it, so that you can escape, which is what salvation means, to escape. You'll find salvation in Christ and in Him alone. There's no other way. And so hell is a real place. The lake of fire is a real place. It was created for the devil and the demons. What is temptation? Our lesson this morning and our messages to come are about temptation. What does it mean? Temptation, according to Webster's 1828, is to incite. It means to solicit an evil act. And so there's temptation. James chapter 1, verse 14 says, every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own, what? Lust and enticed. So the Bible teaches about temptation as being drawn away. We're tempted because we're being drawn away. We might ask this question, does the devil really tempt us? Satan is the deceiver. In fact, in John chapter 8, verse 44, it says this, Jesus says, ye are of your father the devil. Let's think about that for just a moment. Is that okay? Jesus said, ye are of your father the devil. Why would he say that? Is it a metaphor? No. He's speaking of somebody who is not saved, and therefore their father isn't God. They're of another nature, falling under the category of the evil one who's separated from God. And so Jesus said, you're of your father the devil. And then he said, the lust of your father ye will do. Meaning the devil has a level of control in the hearts of people who are lost. Not in the sense that we're possessed by the devil and like puppets we do exactly what the devil says. No. We'll talk about this just in a moment. But the devil has a kind of stronghold in the minds of lost people and then directs. And there's a level of control by the devil for those that are lost. But listen to what it says about the devil in that verse. Jesus continues, and he says this in John 8:44, you have the father of the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. We'll talk more about that in just a minute. But then he says this, he was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So the devil is a liar. Satan is a liar. Jesus said he's the father of lies, and it speaks of him being a murderer from the beginning. And that takes us all the way back to Adam and Eve in the garden, doesn't it? In Genesis chapter 3, whenever Satan, the serpent, came to the woman and said, ye shall not surely die. That was a lie, wasn't it? And so Satan came and brought temptation and brought a lie, and the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and tree to be desired to make one wise. So she took the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave to also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And so he, through this temptation, brought destruction to mankind. And you know, he seeks to do the same to you and me. I said he seeks to do the same to you and me. And we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared against those temptations and those onslaught of lies and attacks that the devil brings to us, so that we might be prepared to stand against them. Yeah. He tries to draw us away. He's like Peter said in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, who? The devil, as a roaring lion, seeketh, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Ephesians 6, Paul said it this way, beginning in verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You know, isn't it interesting that Paul, he always speaks of warfare and conflict, and here he uses the metaphor of being a wrestling, or being in a wrestling match. And so the idea is conflict and fighting and struggling and wrestling. And we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. I think we said that last time when it would have been a couple of Sundays ago. We did a message about warfare and the conflict that we have in a spiritual sense. And sometimes we, in that message, I was meditating. Sometimes after I do a message, I'll meditate on a message. And in that, I think this might be the devil too, Brother David. But I'm thinking through a message that I already have delivered. And I'm thinking, man, I wonder, did that make sense? I shouldn't have said that. And I have all these second thoughts. And one of the things I remembered saying in that message is how the conflict that we have is, it's not a fleshly or carnal kind of conflict. So, you know, it's not the things that are disrupted necessarily in our life, but it's a spiritual conflict. But I do want to say this, that the devil wants to use the challenges we face, the physical challenges we face in life, to cause us to become discouraged. And we'll talk about that in the next message. But the conflict, the battlefield that we are on, is not in the physical realm. The battlefield that we face the devil and we feel the attacks from the devil, in the battlefield that if we're going to get victory, it's the battlefield that we're going to find that victory, and it's in our mind and in our heart. Amen. We have to understand that. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but then he said this, against principalities, against powers. These are spiritual things. This is a spiritual battle that we're in. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world. These are demon forces, friends. Against the spiritual wickedness in high places. And he, the devil, seeks to deceive so that he might destroy us. He hates God, therefore he hates us. So where does he tempt us? As we just said, the battlefield that the devil fights us is the battlefield of our minds. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, and by the way, you should note these verses I'm about to say to you. You've heard me say them in times past, and I'm going to continue to say them just in just a moment, and I'm going to say them in messages to come, and you should write them on the table of your heart, meaning memorize them, because you're going to need these verses like these. And that is this. For the weapons, meaning we're in conflict, of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of stronghold. You know what a stronghold is? A stronghold is something that the devil plants. It's like a seed of thought that's planted in your mind, and it gains roots so that you have trouble embracing truth because some stronghold has taken hold of your heart. Sometimes it manifests itself in a faulty, illicit kind of love that we have for somebody or something. You know, maybe a teenager feels like they have a love for another teenage person far before they're ready to, you know, embrace the consequences and the full nature of a relationship that way. And so what happens is that they begin to tell themselves that they have love for this person. And that can become a stronghold, so that God tries to move in and say, you need to break that off, because this is not the one and this is not the time. And you're not ready and neither are they. And this relationship is hurting both you and her, or you and him. And you need to end this relationship. And God wants to move in and do a great work in you, but you have a stronghold. And it manifests itself by this kind of, you know, feeling of love that we have inside. That's what a stronghold is. A stronghold is something in our heart that we've embraced and we won't let God have it. Okay? All right, getting preaching this, I'm going to not make it through the rest of the notes. Let me say the rest of this verse. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Think about that. Imaginations are in your mind or in your heart. You need to cast those down. And what else do you need to cast down? Every high thing. What's a high thing? Something that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What does God say? What does God want? And some things in life, in our heart and in our mind and in our emotions, exalt themselves above what God has taught and what God has says. And God says this, you need to learn to cast those down because they'll destroy you. They'll be used of the devil in your mind to become a stronghold that'll pull you away from God. That's where the fight is. The battlefield is in our mind. The battlefield is in our heart. That's why the Scripture speaks so much about giving God our heart and letting Him have our mind. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. This is in your mind. It's your reasoning. It's your thoughts. It's your emotions. God needs to have control there. Why? Because that's where the battle is. Great peace have they which love thy law. Nothing shall offend them. This is something that God does in us through His Word. How about this one? That will keep him, this is Isaiah 26:3. That will keep him, God will keep him in perfect, what's that next word? Do you know? Peace. That will, you want to have peace, which by the way is in you? The world can be peaceful around you, but if you don't have peace within, then your world's turmoil. How about the opposite? The world could be turmoil, but you have peace within. Which would you rather have? I'd rather have peace within. Yeah. That will keep you. Here's how you get it. That will keep him. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. Amen. Whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusted in thee. The battle is in your mind. We need to be prepared. And that's, if you're going to be equipped, it's going to be in your mind or you won't be equipped. One writer said this. It's through our inmost thoughts and desires that the tempter comes to us. His attack is launched in our own minds. You know, he goes on, he says, it's true that that attack can be so real that it's almost as though we can see the devil. He finds his allies and his weapons in our own inmost thoughts and desires. That's where the battle is. Satan tempts us with well-crafted lies. If you're lost, he seeks to keep you from ever coming to Christ. If you're saved, he seeks to cause you to stumble. The devil is real. Temptation is real. The conflict is in our mind. And Jesus knew that Satan was coming to tempt him. So he prepared. Well, we would be wise to do that too. I mean, let's just admit it. The devil's going to attack us. We need to be prepared for it, and we need to probably equip ourselves the same way Jesus did, or it might be we're not ready. There's some sarcasm there. That was tongue-in-cheek. The real thing is we do it Jesus' way, or we're not going to be ready. Y'all are taking too long with this. Let's go. Verse number 1. Look what it says. When Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So in preparation, first of all, Jesus was led of the Spirit. I mean, let's not say that this isn't part of the preparation. It certainly is. He's an example of allowing himself to be guided in submission to the work of the Holy Spirit. And in that example, we need to understand that our source of wisdom and strength is not going to come from us. We have to learn to submit ourselves to the work of the Holy Spirit. Let Him guide us every step of the way. Amen. Look at verse number 2. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And then it says in verse 3, and when the tempter came to him. So Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. It says he was hungry. And then that's when the tempter came. So in preparation for this time of temptation, Jesus fasted, setting his eyes on the Father, which is where he's going to get his strength. And for you and I to be prepared for this temptation, we need to understand that the devil is determined, just like with Jesus, to cause us to stumble and to fall. Yeah. I had to pause there because whenever one problem. Any of you teachers and preachers, you might understand this. With doing a 4-part series, and you're just one after the other, and you've worked on all 4 of them, you get tempted to say something you're not supposed to say until lesson three. So I almost did it. Like, then I turned the page here. I'm like, wait, that's not in the notes. So we need to get back to this. Jesus fasted for 40 days. Why? Because he knew what was coming. Satan is determined to cause us to quit. We must take our spiritual walk with God seriously. Mark that. You want to be equipped, you have to start taking your walk with God seriously. That means your devotion to God is how you prepare yourself for these attacks. Ooh, your devotion to God. One writer said this, it's not the circumstances that causes us to fall. It's the character of the individual. You have to take your devotion seriously, meaning you need to start reading and studying the Bible. Now, if we did a survey, which we won't, we wonder if we were to, you know, question and wonder, how is our Bible reading and study time with God going? Maybe not so good. Or maybe most of us would acknowledge at least this simple truth or possible truth, and that is it's not where it needs to be. And for some of us, it's nowhere close. Let me say, if you open the Bible in the morning and you read anything out of the Bible, you've done a good thing. Like, well, I only read one verse. You know, one's better than zero. Last time I checked. You know, and it's amazing how that one verse that you read and you really digested it, meaning you thought about it, and you're going to carry it with you that way throughout that day and perhaps that week. It's amazing how many things you'll go through in life. God will just use that one verse that you read to remind you that he's there and that he's working. But you know, one verse per morning, as good as that is, better than zero, we need to be equipped and we need to give effort and time and energy to our devotion to God. We need to make a determined effort to get up in the morning and to read his word. Like, well, I get up really early. Well, get up earlier. Well, I'm really tired. Go to bed earlier. Turn the TV off. Stop looking at your phone. Put the iPad away. Whatever it is, get to bed earlier. Get plenty of sleep. Get up earlier. Spend some time with God. Well, I do my devotions at night. Well, if that works for you, then I'm proud of you for that effort. But you know what I find is that nighttime devotions often don't work out so well because we're tired. And our brain can't function very well. We're ready for bed. We don't get a lot out of it. We need to get up in the morning and prepare ourselves for our walk within this serious thing of temptation. Let me say this. We need to meditate on the Word of God. You know what you'll find is the Bible doesn't instruct us a lot to read the Bible, but the Bible instructs us quite a bit to meditate on the Bible. You know? It's what it says in the Bible all through. Meditate, 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 you know? Brother Brian did a message out of Psalms 1. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You want to have strength like a tree planted by the water? It comes from not just reading, but meditating. So read the Bible. Let God work in your heart. As you're reading, verses will pop out to you, and God will use verses and write it on a 3x5 card or on a notepad or something and carry it with you. And read it over and over that day and throughout that week. Meditate on the Scripture. Memorize the Scripture. You say, well, I'm not good at memorizing. Well, let's start with meditating and you'll find that you'll start memorizing. Because just that repetition of meditation will cause it to be, you know, engrafted into your way of thinking. Meditate. Memorize. We should pray. We should pray more than we do. Let me say it that way. You know, Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for like 3 minutes. And we should give more effort, more time to the Lord in our prayers. We should fast in preparation for these kind of attacks. Witness and testify. Sing praises to God. Oh, you know, Brother Larry does such a good job picking out the songs. And the last few times we've had invitational songs, I feel like, wow, that just really goes along. And I think it was it last Sunday we just read part of the hymn song, and just the reading of it was so touching. You know, maybe we should do that in our devotions. Have a hymn book with us. Finish our devotion. Just open it and read some hymns. Maybe sing them. to bring praises to God. Why would we do this? Because the attacks of the devil are real. You will be attacked. Well, where are you going to be equipped? In your devotions. So what if I neglect my devotions? You're not equipped. You're not nearly equipped like you should be. Yeah. Let me finish with this. A pastor told his congregation about a man who had a dog. One day we're going to get a dog. He was trying to train his dog to be obedient, which is part of the challenge of having a dog. And so what he would do is take a large piece of meat, he'd put it in the middle of the floor, and then he would tell the dog, no. And that dog just went after the meat and tore into it. But then the owner of the dog, he did some harsh correction towards the dog and then put meat in the middle of the floor and told the dog, no. And the dog went after the meat. But after a few times of that, the dog no longer went after the meat when the owner said no, but the owner found something very interesting happen instead. So that when he put the meat in the middle of the floor and told the dog no, the dog didn't go after the meat, but here's what was interesting. The dog never looked at the meat. He kept his eyes on his master. You know, I think sometimes we're not equipped to overcome the temptation that we face and will face continually because our eyes are not fixed in gaze upon our master. We're not strong because our devotion is not where it needs to be. We're weak. You say, well, you know, I'm not really going to be tempted this week. Well, you got another thing coming. So we need to be prepared. Let's fix our eyes on the Master. Let's equip ourselves to stand in the midst of those temptations. Father, we love you this morning. We're grateful that we can study your word. And Lord, as we have made effort this morning to study and to be challenged in the area of our devotions, I pray that you would help us to acknowledge that maybe our Bible reading, our prayer time, our meditating, our memorizing, our singing for you, praises and worship and bowing the knee and praying and fasting is perhaps for some of us not near where it needs to be. And we have found that in that we have become weak and we have become vulnerable to fall to the temptation that has come to us. So this morning I pray for a revival in our devotion to you. As we set the table to prepare for temptation that will come, that you would help us to acknowledge our great need in preparing for this time, for the battle, the conflict that we'll feel, is our devotion to you. Help us to have a revival in that area in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're